the human being continually keeps separating himself from where he is in time and place, as it says in Kohelet, for man goes to his eternal home, which also means that each day a man's life keeps diminishing. Similarly, the Torah says the day of death from the day of one's birth, and our sages comment, the day of death begins as soon as one is born. The Medrash cites three psukim to indicate that the Ovis said similar things. Thus Avram said, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And Yitzchak says, that I may bless you before Hashem, before my death. And Yaakov too said, and I will sleep with my fathers. Our sages teach, beloved are proselytes, Gerim, for this Torah speaks of love in relation to Klal Yisrael, and it speaks of love in relation to Gerim. Our patriarch Avram called himself a proselyte, a stranger, and David HaMelech called himself a stranger. The righteous are the substance of this world, yet they consider themselves unimportant. Thus Avram, the substance of the world, spoke of himself as if he were of no importance. I am a stranger and a settler with you. Similarly, Yaakov said to Esau, I have resided as a stranger with Laban. The Torah also calls the Jewish people strangers and settlers, as found in the Chumash Vayikra. Accordingly, David says here, hear my prayer, O Hashem, and give ear to my cry. Why? For I am a stranger with you, a settler, as were all my fathers. David called himself a stranger because of his lineage. He was descended from three proselytes. He stemmed from Ruth the Moabite. The entire line of generations went back to Avram, the first convert who turned away from his father Terach. And all the matriarchs were converts who left the ways of their fathers. He also called himself a settler because he stemmed from Yugeret, Hanoch, and Sushelach, who were settlers. They populated the earth. Adam was meant to live 1,000 years, but he bequeathed 70 years to David. The gift was recorded in the book and signed by Shem, the angel Matron, and by Adam. And it is the book of the righteous that is open Rosh Hashanah. Each of the others also gave some of his years to David. Another interpretation says the soul is a stranger that is only incidentally in this world. Its essence is in the supernal world. It is the other way around regarding the body. The exception is the tzaddik, whose body too shines, being totally dedicated to serving Hashem. He is a settler, as were my fathers. The others were sufficiently meritorious to draw the Shekhinah, the divine presence, into this world. Pasuk Yudalit, Pasuk 14. Hosha mimeni v'achligo v'terem eilech v'eineni. Look away from me that I may recover before I go away and am no more. Look away from me, leave me be, and cease afflicting me with maladies, that I may recover and with renewed strength go back to fulfilling your will. I know that my maladies came upon me due to my transgressions, so hear my plea. Pardon and forgive before I go away into the grave and am no more. Enable me to do what you want of me. This world is the realm of action, and the world to come is in the realm of reward, not of deeds. As King Solomon said, all that your hand can possibly do, do with all your might, for there is no action, nor reckoning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom at all where you are going. A pasuk that's found in Kohelet. If not now, when? I do not ask that you remove all my suffering, but grant me enough reprieve, so I may strengthen myself between one spasm and another. How else can I possibly transform myself into another, better human being? Before I go away and am no more, I do not want to depart from this world in this manner, leaving nothing for the coming generations. So look away from me, cease my troubles and suffering, that I may recover and become strengthened before I go away and am no more. Let me dwell in your world, both in this world and in the world to come. Now we go to chapter 40, Pasuk 1. Lam netzeach le David mizmor, for the conductor of David the psalm. Pasuk Beis, Kavoi kivisi Hashem, vayet elai vayishma shavasi. I waited with hope for Hashem, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. In the present psalm, as in the foregoing two psalms, David gives thanks to Hashem for having healed him of his maladies. Here he explains his desperate illness that nearly cost him his life, as he goes on to say, "My heart has failed me, O Hashem. Make haste to help me. Do not be too late." Psalm begins with the words, "Lamdaseach David," for the conductor of David. That is, first he composed the psalm, and then the divine presence rested upon him, and he was truly David. When he was in a joyous state, the Shekhinah would rest upon him. Then came the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he composed his psalm. Whenever he was troubled, however, it was first necessary to bring about a state of joy, which he accomplished by composing a psalm. With the onset of joyousness, the Shekhinah, the divine presence, would then rest upon him. "I waited with hope, I prayed constantly." Our sages teach, if you prayed without proper devotion and then repeated your prayer, be assured that your prayer has been heard. Hence David says, "I waited with hope, prayed constantly for Hashem, and he inclined to me and heard my cry." In his plea for life, he recalled the wondrous things that Hashem had done for his ancestors. This is a great help for one's own prayer to be accepted. Thus Moshe said, when pleading for his people, "Remember Avram, Yitzchak, and Yisrael, your servants. Remember the time when you swore to them, I will multiply your seed as found in Chumash Shemos." Certainly you knew at the time that they would be totally righteous in the future. So now to give them more time, turn from your fierce wrath. David comes to fortify the hearts of the despondent who say, "How can I expect divine help if I have not accumulated many good deeds to my credit?" His answer, "The reason I merited that Hashem inclined to me and heard my cry is that I waited with hope for Hashem. Due solely to my hope and trust in Hashem, he inclined to my plea and heard my cry for help. He was far from me on account of my deeds, but because of my trust, he came near." When a person expects divine help with all his heart and soul, he becomes worthy that Hashem should save him. Another emphasis yields the interpretation, "Some men wait for God to grant them the wishes of their hearts, but all I waited and hoped for was Hashem himself, for me to be close to him. Literally, then I waited with hope for Hashem." The particular repeated terminology, "Kavei kevisi Hashem," waited, I conveys what is similarly conveyed by what Yitzchok said, and Yitzchok entreated vayetar Hashem, and Hashem let himself be entreated by him. One can explain it by means of a parable. A son was cutting through a wall on one side in order to see his father, and the father was cutting through the wall on the other side in order to see him. Similarly, Isaac strove through prayer to plead before Hashem, and God strove from the other side to be readily available to him. In the case of David, similarly, Hashem would send the north wind through the strings of his harp to awaken him, and David on his part would ready himself for the onset of the Holy Spirit. Thus he says, "Because I waited, kivisi, for Hashem, Hashem waited for me. Because of my utter desire for him, he inclined to me and heard my cry." Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3. "Vayaleni mi bor sho'un mitit hayoven, vayokem al sela raglai konein ashuroi." He raised me up from the slimy pit, from the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, established my footsteps. David compares his illness to being emerged into the miry clay found at the bottom of a body of water, and Hashem lifted him out of there. He not only raised him up from the slimy pit, but to keep me from sinking down again and drowning, he set my feet upon a rock. This is not enough, however, since there still is water all around the rock. To reach the shore, one must be able to skip from rock to rock, so he established my footsteps to be able to do so. David speaks of his trust in Hashem, that he would help him fulfill his will. "Whereupon he inclined to me and heard my cry." Similarly, he said earlier, "My eyes are ever towards Hashem, for he will bring out my feet from the snare." And in the merit of his trust, he raised me up from the slimy pit, from the miry clay, lifted me up out of the prison of lust and the mire of evil impulses, and he set my feet upon a rock. My trust that he will bring out my feet from the snare was vindicated. After he brought me out of this slimy pit and the miry clay, he raised me to the top of the rock. It is Hashem's way that when he extends deliverance to a person, he elevates him from the lowest descent to the highest ascent. As the Torah says, who raises up the poor and helpless out of the dust and lifts up the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princesses, even with the princesses of his people. Out of a place of distress I called upon Hashem. He answered me with divine great enlargement. When I was granted divine deliverance, I was taken directly from deep distress to great relief. Our sages teach that the slime of pits is an obstruction to the proper performance of mikveh immersion. He also said that the slimy pit is one of the seven names for Gehenim, hell. Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk 4, Vayitain b'fi shir chadash tehida le'elokeinu yiru rabim yiro v'yivtuchu v'ashem. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our Hashem. Many will see and fear and will trust in Hashem. Hashem granted me the spirit to declare before him a new song, a song that is especially sweet to the soul. This song in its entirety is a praise to our Hashem and will bring solace to others. For many will see and fear, and he will trust in Hashem just as I trusted in him. He will put a new song in my mouth. Hashem caused his presence to dwell with me, and by means of the Holy Spirit I uttered this new song. Thus and only thus, if one is one permitted to praise and glorify his name, which then becomes praise to our Hashem. When the Holy Spirit is not present, it is forbidden to multiply praises of Hashem, for they may then become the opposite of praise. As our sages have said about Nebuchadnezzar, he wanted to condemn all the songs and praises uttered by David, but the angel of Gabriel appeared and struck him on the mouth. Nebuchadnezzar did not fear Hashem, unlike David HaMelech, who was filled with the fear of Hashem and multiplied his praises through the Holy Spirit that rested upon him. So will it also be in the future when I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will make myself known in the eyes of many nations, and they will know that I am Hashem, a pasuk that's found in Yechezkel. The Jewish people will sing the proper song by means of the Holy Spirit, and this new song will also be sung by our enemies because they will be seized by fear. David's aim here is to proclaim by means of a new song that in times of deep affliction all men should place their trust in Hashem alone. They are not then to rely on other natural factors. Thus we find that when Yosef relied on the royal cupbearer, though he trusted in Hashem, his imprisonment was extended by 2 years. He has put a new song in my mouth. Any song that appeals for deliverance by non-miraculous means is defined as an old song, since nature has already been created and is long-standing. But a song about miraculous deliverance which involves a change in nature is a new song. It constitutes praise to our Hashem, since miraculous events attest to divine supervision. When a modification of nature takes place, many will see and fear. Not only will the scientists and scholars then understand and be awed, but so will the masses of the people, as a result too, will trust in Hashem. The Medrash says, many will see and fear. The would-be penitent should look to David, for there was no other reason for him to have committed the wrong except to teach others about repentance. Accordingly, he says here, if many will see that he had sinned, and by turning away from sin was forgiven, they will come to fear Hashem and trust in Hashem. They will realize that Hashem does not desire the death of the sinner, only that he turn away from his path of sin and live. As it says, for with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. For if were otherwise, the sinner would despair of forgiveness and continue to sin. The purpose of my suffering was to make manifest the attribute of judgment in the world. He has put a new song in my mouth in order to announce to men everywhere to give praise to our God, Lelokeinu. The name Elohim designates the attribute of judgment. Many will see her see and fear, and so will trust in Hashem. They will put their trust in God's attributes of compassion, designated by the name of Yudke Vavke Hashem. When I was on the brink of death, David says, He raised me up from the slimy pit, from the miry clay. The pasuk that we already learned. I am as if newborn, and if I am new, the song that Hashem placed in my mouth is a new song. When the many will see this, they will be afraid. They will not turn away their eyes, but will trust in Hashem, that they will behold the reward of trusting in Hashem. When God performs miracles for the Jewish people, His holy name is proclaimed throughout the whole world, as it says, O praise Hashem, you all nations, laud Him, all you peoples. For His loving kindness is great towards us. The truth is to the world, praise Hashem. A consequence of God's loving kindness towards us, that is, actions that transcend the pattern of natural laws, is that the truth about Him spreads throughout the world. Similarly, David says here, because Hashem had raised me up from the slimy pit, from the miry clay, because He made firm my feet so that they would not fall, because He put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our Hashem, many will see and fear and will trust in Hashem. Pasuk Hey, Pasuk 5. Ashrei HaGever Shesom Hashem Miftacho Lopano El Rehovim B'Sote Chozo. Happy is the man who has made Hashem his trust and has not turned to the arrogant nor to such as stray after lies. Happy is the man who has made Hashem his only trust. He has not turned to powerful and arrogant men nor to such as stray after lies, to those who peddle false practices, that is, sorcerers and fortune tellers. Others say that the arrogant refers to wealthy men whose wealth makes them arrogant. As the Torah says, similarly, the youth will behave proudly against the elder. Pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. Thus the Zohar says regarding the Pasuk, the same were the mighty men that were of old, men of renown. Those were the ones of whom it says later, Come, let us build us a city and a tower, and let us make a name. Even when they perform a good deed, they do it not for its own sake, but to make a name for themselves. David also continues the previous pasuk by explaining what he means by the new song that Hashem has given him. The song says, Happy is the man who has made Hashem his trust and has not turned to the arrogant, nor to such as stray after lies. The term Rehovim denotes arrogance. The person considers himself as more powerful than he is in reality. The term Chazav pertains to anything that does not last. Both flaws are present when one trusts in another man. Trusting in man is both illusory and unreliable. Yosef placed his trust in the royal cupbearer when he said, Make mention of me to Paro, and his imprisonment was extended by 2 years. Except for this slight punishment, however, Hashem disregarded his error and saved him because he trusted in him. Happy is the man who has made Hashem his trust and has not turned to the arrogant, nor to such a stray after lies. The pasuk pertains to Yosef in the following sense as well. Although his deliverance eventually came about through the royal cupbearer, this was not because the royal cupbearer wanted to help him. Rather, Hashem had so arranged matters that he was compelled to mention Yosef to Paro. Hashem's deliverance comes to the man who trusts in him, and no intermediaries are necessary. Indeed, Hashem compels the intermediaries to bring deliverance. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Rabos osiso ato Hashem niflosecho machshavosecho eleinu ve'ein aroch elecho agido ve'daberu osmu misaper. Many great things have you done, O Hashem, my God. Even your wondrous works and your thoughts are towards us. There is none to be compared to you. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than they can be told, counted. The great wonders have you done, O Hashem, my God. They did not come about through stellar influence. Your wondrous works and your thoughts are towards us, towards me, and the likes of me who trust in you. There is none to be compared to you by any measure of comparison. No existing being in this world can accomplish anything like your wondrous works and mighty acts. Were I to begin recounting them, I would find that they are more. Not only are the things you have done very great, but their number is great. Another interpretation says, your works and thoughts are wondrous to us in our estimation. They are not at all wondrous in your estimation. Your wondrous works, the evident miracles, and your thoughts, the concealed miracles, are so many that they are more than they can be counted. Your thoughts is also said to refer to the purpose and intent of the miracles. Your wondrous works and your thoughts towards us, they are intended to draw our hearts to you, and they are for our benefit. You are higher than high, yet you supervise those far below for their benefit. There is none to be compared to you. The Torah speaks of God by analogy with human ways. Thus it says that Hashem has a thought before he acts. When acting, there are your wondrous works, and your thoughts are prior to the acts. There is none to be compared to you, and your wondrous works and your thoughts towards us are likewise too many to be encompassed. Similarly, the Pasuk says, there is none like you among the gods, O Hashem, and there are no works like yours. For you in the skies can be compared to the Lord, who among the sons of might can be likened to the Lord. I would declare and speak of them that much I might attempt, but I could not declare their number, for they are more than can be counted. The sages of the Talmud teach, many great things have you done in the past, and many great things will you do from now on. Your wondrous works and your thoughts are towards us, said Rabbi Levi. Compare it to a king who has a time-keeping device, but a son came along and he gave it to him. Said Rabbi Acha, compare it to a king who had a seal, but a son came along and he gave it to him. Rabbi Chiya said, compare it to a king who had carpenter's tools, but his son came along and he gave the tools to him. Rabbi Yitzchok said, compare it to a king who had treasure vaults, but his son came along and he gave them to him. The other sages say, compare it to a king who had a bag of medicines, but his son came along and he gave it to him. All these things were said regarding the subject dealt with in the Talmud earlier, namely that the task of making calendar determinations and fixing the Yom Tovim was passed on to the Jewish people. Early in the past, Hashem fixed the times and established the Yom Tovim. Beginning from the time of Matan Torah, when the Torah was given, he bequeathed this matter to Klal Yisrael. Thus the parable of the timepiece pertains to Rosh Hashanah. When Hashem fixes the times, he decrees the sword for some countries and famine for others. The seal symbolizes sealing the verdict after judgment. Because Rosh Hashanah commemorates the creation of the world, this is appropriately represented by the carpenter tools used in building. This day is also likened to a bag of medicines, for on this day men repent and are healed. David also refers to the hazards of putting one's trust in men instead of trusting in Hashem. If one places his trust in someone whom yields great power, that man is bound to lose his power, or else he will deal treacherously with those who trust him. If, however, one has made Hashem his trust, he will know many things of great excellence and high value. Then again, David says, I would declare and speak what the things done by Hashem are more than can be told. They cannot be recounted in full detail. It is the way of man, a creature of flesh and blood, that if he performs a favor for another, he will not immediately perform another favor for him. But you, even when you are in the midst of performing your wondrous works, at that very moment your thoughts are towards us, to bestow upon us some additional benefit. There is none to be compared to you. Similarly, based on the Pasuk, who is like you, doing wonders, our sages infer, he has performed wonders for us, and he continues to perform wonders for us in every generation. Pasuk Zion, Pasuk 7. Zevach u'mincha lo chafatzto oznayim korisa li ola v'chato lo sh'olta. You do not desire sacrifice or meal offering. You have pried open my ears. Burnt offering and sin offering have you not required. You do not want a man to sin and then to bring an offering. Let him better open his ears to heed your will and avoid all sin. For have you not pried open my ears to hear your words? Here sacrifice zevach specifically refers to voluntary peace offerings, while meal offering refers to the fine flour soaked in oil, a pasuk that's found in the Chumash by Yikra. A burnt offering is brought in the expiation of sins of omission, non-fulfillment of the positive mitzvah, and a sin offering is brought in expiation of an unintentional sin, violation of a negative mitzvah. You do not desire, you have not required. Similarly, the Torah says, "For I did not speak to your fathers, nor command them in the day that I brought them out of Mitzrayim, concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices," a pasuk that is found in Yirmiyahu. Rather, from the very first, Hashem commanded them to heed His voice, as it says, "If you will willingly listen to the voice of Hashem your God, and you will do that which is right in His eyes, and give ear to His commandments, and keep His statutes," a pasuk that is found in Chumash Shemos. It was only after they had sinned that Hashem commanded them to offer sacrifices. Earlier, David said, "Your wondrous works and your thoughts are towards us." Here he explains that Hashem's purpose was not for us to offer sacrifices, since you do not desire sacrifice and meal offering. Rather, you have pried open my ears to hear your voice. As Shmuel said to Shaul, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen, to hearken than the fat of rams." It also says, "Therefore I have sworn the iniquity will not be expiated with sacrifice nor meal offering." Our sages explain, it is not expiated with sacrifice or meal offering, but it is expiated by heeding the words of the Torah. This is easily accomplished, here symbolized by the allusion to hearing, which does not require the expenditure of effort. Unlike the mouth and the eye, which move when performing their functions, the ear is passive. Pasuk Ches, Pasuk 8. Az amarti hinevasi b'mgilas sefer kasuv aloi. Then I said, "Behold, I have come with the scroll of the book which is written for me." Then, after I was healed of my illness and relieved of my troubles, I said in my heart that you do not desire sacrifice and meal offering. I would simply do as you commanded me. I have come, therefore, to keep that which is written in the scroll of the book, the Torah, for me and for every son of my people. Others identified the scroll of the book as the Torah scroll that every king was specifically required to write and carry it at his side, that he may learn to fear Hashem his God. "Because I knew that you do not desire sacrifices and meal offerings, behold, I have come to list all the good deeds I have done that are in accordance with what is written in your Torah." Pasuk Tes, Pasuk 9. La asos ritzoncho lahayecho fatzi v'sarascho v'soch me'oi. I delight to do your will, O Hashem. Yes, your law is in my inmost parts. David declares that all he wants is to attain perfection in deed and thought. Indeed, to do your will, O Hashem, in thought, that your law, the Torah, be implanted in my inmost parts, that is, inside my heart. It should never depart from my thoughts. In a related, more literal sense of in my inmost parts, he says, I savor the taste of Torah learning as if it were natural food. I delight to do your will, and so I love your Torah, that it is not only in my heart, but in my inmost parts. When I hear words of Torah, my insides heave like those of a father responding to news about his son. Your law is in my inmost parts. The food I eat is in accordance with the laws of the Torah. I have not eaten forbidden foods. Our sages elaborate. David says, "May such and such strike me if any food ever entered my belly from which the miser died had not been taken. Your law is in my inmost parts. Even in those things which are permitted, I have conducted myself with great moderation in order to cleanse my inmost parts and be ready to receive the light of Torah from on high." Similarly, our sages teach, before you begin to pray that the words of the Torah should enter inmost parts, pray that fine foods should not enter your body. David says, "In my deepmost heart, I want to do your will. For the soul of every Jew itself, a portion of Hashem from on high, naturally yearns to serve her Creator, but she is hindered by the material aspect that envelopes her on all sides." Another explanation is based on the following teaching of our sages. When you will preserve them, the words of Torah, in your belly, when at the same time they are spoken by the lips with proper intent, accordingly, David says here, "I delight to do your will, O my Shem. Yes, your Torah is then in my inmost parts. Only when the teachings of the Torah are well preserved in our inmost parts will we know how properly to perform the will of Hashem. For an ignorant person cannot be a man of devout piety. I want so much to do your will that at times I forgo my food. I sate the hunger in my belly with the pleasure of Torah learning. We will continue Mitzvah Shem in our next shir.